resources that we use to keep up with state government is MERS, the newsletter. And I'm not just saying that because we have Kyle Malin, the editor, on so often, but they try to be nonpartisan, and they have a lot of good information on there, and they're giving us a little pub today. They have a little cool little thing, which is pretty witty. They have the quote of the day. And today's quote says, "We're not trying to say Michigan is not a dinosaur. Michigan is coming back," and then you get a caveman remark like that, and it shows the Neanderthal quotient is still very high at the Capitol. Senate Majority Leader Gretchen Whitmer telling 1320 AM radio host Tony Connolly that Senator Rick Jones' hooker comment is representative of the insensitive comments made regularly to professional women around the state capitol. Good morning, Kyle. Look what you created with that story on the newsletter.
Well, you know what? Kelly Rossman would say Rick Jones created it, actually. But you know what? Congratulations on getting the name and the quote of the day. You know, there's people at the Capitol who fight and claw and all sorts of stuff to get that quote of the day. And there you got it, you know, by having the right guests on. And, well, congratulations.
Well, I have to be a little upset with myself because this is a story that you covered late in December. And then an MLive.com reporter kind of picked up on it, and I go to them religiously too, and I picked up on a story, and then we had all the parties concerned, Rick Jones, Gretchen Whitmer, as well as Kelly Rossman McKinney, and they addressed this. And, you know, it was more soap opera-ish, if you will, but I started thinking about it. You know, when you looked at what happened last year, there was a lot of rhetoric, a lot of disrespect among the president and the House of Congress and the Senate. And we saw that here in the state, too. And I thought that was cleaning up a little bit, but apparently not. There's still a lot of rhetoric out there. And according to Gretchen Whitmer, the good old boys network is still out there with some of the comments that are made to women who work there.
You know, and that's something, you know, obviously I don't experience at all being a man covering the Capitol, but, you know, I would have to take their word for it, you know, that they feel like that's out there. And it's a subject worth talking about anyway. You know, we live in the 21st century, Tony, and, you know, there's, you know, professional women are just as prominent as professional men, particularly, you know, at the Capitol. And to hear that there may be still some chauvinism around is, I don't know. I guess it's a little surprising for me. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised. Maybe I'm being a little naive, you know. But I thought it was an interesting subject to at least talk about. And, you know, the comment aside, just how do we treat women in the business place? And, you know, is there still sexist comments and inappropriate comments being made that we don't even really think about?
Well, in thinking about what's going to be taken up on the agenda at the House and with the Senate, there's a few newsy items we're going to talk about. But one of those is that the Department of Human Services is calling more than 6,800 people after the asset test fiasco, if you will. Tell us about that story.
Well, what happened is late last year, the director of the Department of Human Services, Maura Corrigan, had noticed that there was a recipient of food stamps who was parked in the central office at the Department of Human Services in a Hummer. And it got her thinking, like, you know, if somebody's driving around in a vehicle like that, what are they doing collecting food stamps? Which is, you know, certainly something that would give most people pause. And so that began the process of something called an asset test, which happens in a lot of states, where people who collect food stamps can't have a certain amount of money in the bank and can't drive a vehicle over $15,000. So they started to implement this this policy along those guidelines. I think the amount in the bank is like $5,000 or something like that. Well, the problem with setting an asset limit for the value of your vehicle is that, especially in this economy, there are people driving around in nice vehicles who have gotten laid off of their job. And now they've run out of unemployment, and their family needs to eat, and so they are getting food stamps. But in order to get a new job, they've got this $15,000 vehicle, or a vehicle that's, you know, more expensive. And so should we really be cutting these people off welfare or food stamps? Well, the governor got into the mix and basically said, you know what, it's not really fair. You know, these people are just recently in tough situations, and they do need to get to a job. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to put this back in place. We're going to scratch the $15,000 car, but we're going to keep in this savings thing. If you've got $5,000 in the bank, you still can't get food stamps. Well, now that's created a split decision. So now the Department of Human Services has to go back and call all the people that they cut off in the first place to make sure that they qualify. So it's just created a bureaucratic nightmare for them over at the department. You know, it's kind of state government fun to kind of watch them.
All right.
Go back on a policy.
In today's newsletter, you also write how there's uncertainty surrounding Michigan's natural gas drilling. Tell us about this story.
Yeah, sure. Deep in the ground, Tony, there is a level of rock down there called shale. And beyond the shale, there is a pocket of natural gas that can be tapped. And up in northern Michigan, the natural gas companies have now developed a way to drill down deep enough into the Earth's core and extract that natural gas. But in order to get it, to get at it, they got to pump a chemical down there that kind of rises this natural gas up. You know, natural gas is you can see it as an alternative to fuel that's here in our state, so we don't have to go across the overseas and get our oil from the Middle East or wherever. And so obviously there's companies out there that are looking at extracting this natural gas. The process is called, the environmentalists call it fracking. I think hydraulic fracking or something's the official title, but whatever. Now, the chemical that's pumped down there's some concern that that chemical can pollute the groundwater or the water that's down there that we use to pump out of the ground to, for our use, daily use. So anyway, so there's just some question about how much natural gas is under the surface. What are the risks involved as far as the environmental is concerned? And really, there's kind of this land grab. And that's kind of what we wrote about on Friday, is how much land is available and how much are companies willing to pay for it. Early last year, fracking was huge, and natural gas companies were paying a very nice price to the state government to get their hands on it. Later in the year, the price went down significantly. And so, it was great for the state for a one-year boom. We got a lot of money for our natural resources fund that goes and buys property across the state. But now that demand has gone way down, there's some question whether we really have the natural gas that we thought and really if the business is there that we had hoped.
All right, talk about a blast from the past. He's back. Former Lieutenant Governor John Cherry is back in the news.
Yes. Yeah, he's interested in running for the University of Michigan Board of Regents. And that's actually, it's news that's been out there for a little bit. But the interesting part of it now, as it turns out, are you familiar with the Bernstein commercials?
Oh, yeah.
Sam Bernstein, 1-800-CALL-SAM? Okay, well, his son is Mark Bernstein. And Mark Bernstein has served on the Wayne State University board. And he's also been on the Civil Rights Commission. I don't know if your listeners remember, but his brother ran for attorney general in 2010 in the primary. He didn't make it past the primary, Richard. But he did run in the Democratic caucus or whatever they call that. And, had a very nice showing, almost won. And so anyway, his brother, Mark, is now interested in running for University Board of Regents. So that's going to be a very interesting thing to see what happens with those two, both running for the same spot. The cachet of John Cherry against Mark Bernstein, and a lot of connections, a lot of money, a lot of support. So,
all right, Kyle, I have to get to a news break, but I have two questions on local politics to ask you. Can I call you back in a few minutes?
Yeah, sure.